の尾踏み出す目の尾踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾踏み出す目の尾踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world gather in little karaoke boxes to cheer on the Hanshin Tigers in a place where there's a whole bunch of terrible singing going on around us. How are you doing, Jake? Today is July the 29th, and we're reporting irregularly on a Sunday.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'll be doing better if the Tigers actually manage to win the game that is going on right now. This is also kind of a rare thing. We're usually recording in the morning. Not usually when we have a game going on, but right now, as we speak, the Tigers are up 3-2 against the Swallows, and hopefully that lead will grow a little bit bigger, but who knows at this point. The Tigers are capable of just about anything, it seems like, right now.
And we will update you on the game as we are talking during this podcast, or at least at the end of the podcast we'll give a final thing, but you're going to know much better than we are what the final score is, because you're going to listen to this well after we record it. Anyhow, again, I'm the host, T-Ray, and with me is Jake. And we are actually sitting in a little karaoke box in Ashiya, Japan, just hanging out and trying to record one, get one in before T-Ray heads off on vacay. And we're going to be shutting down the H10 operations for a few weeks, but we thought we would squeeze one more podcast in.
And it's pretty cool because this is actually the first time we've been sitting together when we record this. We usually are in separate studios about an hour away from each other by train, but now we're actually in the same area doing this for the first time, so it's pretty cool. It's kind of a different sort of vibe than we're used to.
Recording around one mic as opposed to separate mics, and then also the one time that we did record together after a game at Koshien, we were just sitting and talking into a phone, and we had Zorni with us, and so this is like just the two of us doing the regular show. But instead of being apart, we're together. So, anyways, I hope the new dynamic is a fun one for you all as well. And we are going to get back to you with some pretty cool stuff right after this. So, the last time that we came at you, actually, T-Ray recorded a solo show, and I was at Koshien Stadium. Right before Game 3 of the Giants series, and we were hoping to avoid the thorough embarrassment of being swept by them twice in the same season at Koshien Stadium.
And unfortunately, you got to see another bit of a stinker.
We were embarrassed once again. So yeah, three straight losses, and just for the record, I got these tickets from Scott Matheson, who's a great guy, but he happens to play for the wrong team. And I bring that up because the last time that I got tickets from him, he didn't pitch in any of the games at Koshien, and the Tigers won all three of them. And I remember talking to him after the Saturday game, and he was like, man, I just want to pitch, because he'd only thrown in 9 games through 2 months at that point. And since then, he has just been worked like a workhorse, yeah, or whatever, right? And so he actually saved all three of these, yep, games. He got the save proper in the first two, and the one I was at, the Tigers were down 5-0 going into the ninth inning, and so they brought in one of their, you know, mop-up boys or whatever, like, hey, let's just get these three outs and get out of town type of thing. And we scored 3 runs in the first, you know, part of that inning. And so all of a sudden, you know, the tying run is up at the plate, and it's none other than Kosuke Fukudome. And so they were like, well, maybe we better bring in somebody that can actually pitch. And so Matheson kind of made an emergency appearance, just got the one out through two pitches, and got them out of the game. So we lost 5-3. Saiki took the loss after giving up 3 runs in the first inning, and then I don't think he gave up the other runs, but because we never actually tied them up, the loss goes on his tab. So there you have it, swept by the Giants for the second time this season at Koshien. Fourth sweep of the season at Koshien. 2 to the Giants, 1 to the Carp, 1 to the Hawks. I had the pleasure of being at one game in 3 of those 4 series, so yay me!
Yeah, that was pretty brutal to watch. It was funny to see Matheson get the save in each one. One of those games, though, it was pretty close. I think
the second one,
he almost gave up a home run there. And the look on his face was pretty funny as he came off the field. He's like, yeah. And I believe afterwards he had a pretty funny tweet. He's like, sometimes you just get lucky or something like that.
Today was one of those days. Yeah, it was one of those days.
So, well, I wish it hadn't turned out that way. But, hey, I guess you tip your cap to them. We have to. You're kind of in bed with the enemy here, so I guess I sort of have to tip my cap too. But no, he does seem like a really good guy, and it's great that he's helping out the cause and which is kind of interesting that he's, you know, helping us out here with tickets and stuff to the games. But hey, you take whatever you can get, I guess.
Also interesting, you know, he was victim against the Carp. I think it was actually the very next series that same week. And he ended up losing a couple of games, or he lost one game and then another one I think he pitched, but it was really rocky. And the Giants actually got swept by the Carp. Wait, this is not H-Gen or Y-Gen. Sorry, why are we talking about them? The reason is because Matheson actually is now on the DL. I think he hurt his knee or something like that. Yeah. And so maybe he's been overworked after being underworked early in the season. Yep. Let's get back to our lovely Hanshin Tigers, shall we? So right now we're riding a four-game losing streak, and we head into Yokohama where we are undefeated on the season.
Yes, and Akiyama comes back finally. We've been kind of waiting for this. You know, he had some trouble earlier on in the season. He went down. I don't think there was any actually official injury call, but it was like sort of a refresh stint that he had. So he makes his way back up onto the Ichigun, and unfortunately he did not seem very refreshed at all.
No.
He gave up a lot of runs. He only made it through four innings. And then our relievers came in. I believe it was Mochizuki and Iwazaki, I want to say. No, one of them was Iwazaki, but they gave up two runs each. The final score, 10-3. Really rough, and actually DeNA's Kuwahara actually hit for the cycle on this one, so to sort of add insult to injury, that's how that one ended, 10-3. Rough start for Akiyama, and it's worrying because, you know, we really relied on him last year, and actually my predictions at the beginning of this year, I said, you know, pitching is going to be a big issue because we have, basically our only sure things at this point are Randy and Akiyama. And since then, Akiyama has not been a sure thing at all either. Luckily, you know, Iwasada has sort of stepped in a little bit to pick up the slack. But, you know, it hurts not having him, you know, the sort of the 2017 Akiyama that we knew and loved. But, yeah, so this start was really a disaster for him. So
that kind of goes back to what I mentioned on the last show, where we get these guys that are coming up, having one great season, and then not being able to follow up the next season. You know, like I'd mentioned some cases in 2016, right? And then I think I even mentioned Akiyama for 2017 as one that was falling victim to this as well. And one that I failed to mention was maybe Nakatani, who, you know, hit the 20 bombs last season, and this year he has just not found himself in Kanemoto's favor. So his playing time has been limited, and even when he has been playing, he's been kind of hit and miss, more miss than hit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways.
And even Iwasada, too. I mean, he had kind of a rough season last season. Before that, he had a really good season. That was sort of his breakout last time. He had some trouble, and then this season he seems to be back into it. So speaking of Iwasada, though, he comes in to the second game of the series on the 21st up against Ishida and holds his own. We end up winning this one 7-5. This one was great because we saw a bit of an offensive resurgence, namely in Rosario, who belted two home runs, almost had a third. He was about a meter away from getting a third home run in the game.
Ended up being a double, yeah.
Yeah, ended up being a double. Itoi also added a three-run home run, I believe, in this one.
Yeah.
Final score, 7-5. You know, nice to see the offense pouring it on. Dolis gets the save. So, yeah, not much else I really want to say about this one, I guess. You know, like,
well, thanks for ending the five-game losing streak.
Yeah,
anyways.
Yeah. Finally get a win out of it. And we really carry the momentum to the next game, too. The next game we end up winning 11-7. We have Messenger up against Imanaga.
Up against Imanaga.
Imanaga
last season was dominant against us. Even the season before, like in his rookie year. I mean, he owned us, especially at Koshien. But mind you, this one is at, you know, Yokohama Stadium. Mm-hmm. But
not this year, man.
He's been terrible against us.
You know, it's kind of the way with all DeNA stars now for the most part. Like, all the guys who were dominant last year have just really fallen off the map this year. So I think we benefited from that a lot, but we benefited in this case too. Once again, we had four home runs in this game, and we had Itoi, Rosario, Navarro added one, and then Yokawa as well. We kind of had to hang on a little bit at the end of this one.
Yeah, it was kind of a wild ending.
Yeah, we gave up four runs in the eighth or something like that. But we still, you know, we put up enough offense early on to get through it. So 11-7, we win this one. Randy wins.
10th win of the year.
Gets his 10th win of the year. That makes how many seasons?
Seven seasons, which is the best ever for any gaijin pitcher in Japanese pro ball history.
Yes.
Pretty good stuff right there.
And he even got a write-up in the New York Times, didn't he? I believe there was an article.
I think that was early this month. Yeah, you're right.
Him and Gene Backe were talking about sort of the common history between the two guys and how they've matched up in that sense. And it's great to see. You know, he's just been... amazing. You know, he's starting to cool down a little bit now, I think, but for the most part, he's his same solid self. And yeah, I mean, what else can you say about the guy? It's really great.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. So, you know, but he's always humble about it too. You know, he's always giving credit to his teammates and he's saying, "Hey, you know." But it's true. I mean, you know, the pitcher's job is not to win the game. The pitcher's job is to prevent his team from losing, right? Because he's not the one giving them the runs, generally speaking, to win the game. He's the one that's preventing the other team from getting their runs to win the game. So, yeah, obviously, you know, he can't do it without his teammates, but then without his pitching, how many games would we be under 500? I mean, you know, like he is what, 10-6 on the season, so he's 4 above. The team is 7 below. That means that without Randy, we're 11 below 500.
Yep.
It's a pretty weak team with some pretty weak pitching without Randy Messenger in there.
That's for sure. I mean, he's our ace. He's been our ace for a long time now. There's no one else that even really comes close in terms of the year-to-year dependability. Yeah. So, you know, hats off to Randy. We're really glad you're on the team, man, because our team would look a lot different without you. So, keep it up, buddy. We like to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we take 2 out of 3 from DNA, and that's always a good thing because, you know, we got to find that one team that we can slap around because there is a team or two out there that likes to slap us around. And that brings us to our next series against the Hiroshima Carp. Speaking of teams that slap us around. So these Urutora no Natsu special jerseys that the team wore resulted in 3 straight losses against the Giants and now against the Carp for this 3-game set, our final homestand before the Road of Death. It yielded us 1 win out of 3, and so we went 1-5 in those special jerseys. So burn them in the fire, just like the fiery numbers on the back of the jerseys.
Oh, I like those jerseys.
They're kind of cool. The numbers are cool.
I like the
cool
reflective numbers, but man, yeah, the guys, they're having trouble scoring anything with them on, so maybe, yeah. Maybe it's time to start being a little more superstitious and say get rid of them. But
yeah, pretty rough. So anyways, real quick, Tuesday, Iwata's on the mound. He didn't do too badly, but he didn't do well enough to get us the win. I think we were down 2-0 or something when he left the game. Maybe 3-0. We ended up losing 3-1. So I'll throw that one in the fire, and let's move on to our lone win on Wednesday with Hiroto Saiki on the mound, and he did all right. He gave up an early something run. Anyways, we were down 1-0, and then the Tigers came back with four runs, in the third inning, and then another one in the fourth inning. So we gave him a nice 5-1 lead. Typical Tigers, though, a couple of runs more given back to the Carp, and so it looked really close. It was 5-3. Saiki gave up a home run before he left the game in the sixth, and then the bullpen shut it down from there. We end up winning that one 6-3. So how do you like that, Hiroshima? Who's your daddy? It ain't us, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe DNA is their daddy, but anyways. So it's kind of interesting. I think we've talked about this before, but there's this cycle, right? Hiroshima pounds us, we pound DNA, and DNA pounds Hiroshima. It's kind of like, you know, we all even out.
It's funny, yeah. It's like you're taking out the frustrations on other teams, you know. But these are the teams that we need to start, you know, being able to beat on. But I think what are we? It's like we're 4-10 against Hiroshima or something like that this year.
Something
really
disgraceful,
terrible,
yeah. So, you know, yeah, if we can't beat Hiroshima and if we can't beat the Giants, we are not a playoff team. So it doesn't matter how many times we pound the Bay Stars. It doesn't matter if we continue to beat the Swallows today and improve on our season series against them. We got to beat the Carp. Let's go into the Thursday game before we jump into the Swallows series, though. Thursday, Fujinami makes his grand return to the mound. And, you know, Kanemoto named him the key man of the second half of the season, blah, 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 and we've got high expectations for him, yada, yada, yada. So this game was delayed by 1 hour and 10 minutes due to some heavy rains. It started, first pitch was at 7:10 p.m. May as well have never been a first pitch because Fujinami had zero control. He lasted all of 1/3 of an inning, left the game with the bases juiced and 3 runs on his tab. Yosuke Okamoto, who had come in a trade for Daiki Enokida, ended up bringing two of those runners home, but he ended up holding Fort the rest of his time on the mound. I think he went, or most of it anyways, he went until I think the end of the fifth inning, giving up just one more run. And so it was 6-1 when Okamoto left the game, and it ended up being a 9-3 loss. I think we had a chance in the eighth to get more than 2 runs, but that's all we put up. And anyways, at that point it was 9-1, so it didn't really matter. It was just a garbage game. And of course Fujinami got farmed, which I am totally against, even though he stank there. We're talking about a kid that has a 0.27 ERA on the farm. What's he gonna do down there that's gonna convince anyone that he's worthy, that he's ready for another chance on the top squad? I mean, just chalk that up as like a terrible start and say, hey kid, look, you blew it. but you're coming back next week and we expect better from you. And just give him that vote of confidence, man. He needs the vote of confidence. And we've talked about this before with the, you know, no more Yaji, no more jeering him type, you know, type of thing. Like, he needs a little bit of coddling, and you call that weakness, but you got to do what it takes to get that kid back to where he belongs.
And I wonder, you know, it's like this constant elevator between the Ichigo and Negan. It's like they call him up to make a start, he makes a start, they send him back down. They call him up to make another start, and then they send him back down. It's just this constant back and forth. And it's like, you really wonder, he doesn't have a chance to sort of settle in. You know, I also wonder about the dynamics with Kanemoto. Again, this is all stuff, it's just pure speculation, because I don't know what goes on in the clubhouse.
It's also pure recycling of what we always see.
Yeah, pretty much, okay. Yeah. But that's the problem, is that nothing ever changes, though, right? Like, we always complain about this, because it's the same thing that keeps happening, and it's clearly not getting him the results that you would hope to see, so...
The general consensus is that Kanemoto has ruined our young talent, including Fujinami, and I mean... You know, the proof is in what we see, and as we've talked about, you know, last episode and this episode, these guys that are having great seasons, that obviously have the tools and the talent to succeed, but can't do it long term, and I think a lot of that comes from the manager and the coaching staff. But let's not dwell on that any longer. Let's finish up this recap stuff,
yep.
And let's move on to the heart of the show.
All right, well, the last game that we have to talk about is the first game of the Road of Death, and we're hoping sort of, you know, we've seen the Tigers really stink it up at Koshien at home this year. So I was thinking, hey, maybe, you know, we go into a place like Yokohama, we start, you know, really crushing the ball there. Maybe the Road of Death will actually be sort of a road of life for us. Maybe we'll actually start to see the team put up some big offensive numbers. So I have my fingers crossed for that, for the first game against the Swallows. That was not the case, unfortunately. Taiki Ono started this one. His first start in a little while, I believe.
And
right off the bat, gives up a home run to Ballantyne. I'm just going to keep this one short. We end up losing this one 8-2. Yamada Tetsudo came out with, I think, a 3-run home run at one point.
The crushing blow, though, really was, I think, in the 5th inning when Ono gave up a go-ahead home run to their pitcher.
To the pitcher, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right, yeah. Karosky hit the home run in that one as well. He didn't get it done, you know, I mean, and that's just not the kind of pitching that we're going to need. Yakult, again, you know, they're a funny team. Like, you feel like they're really hitting above their weight, but at the same time, they manage to do it when we play them now and then. So, although, I guess we are above, we're beating them in the season series now, but,
yeah.
You know, we really need, like we said, you know, we need to beat up on the teams that we can beat up on if we want any sort of hope to make it to the playoffs. And that's just not happening right now. So, yeah, we lose this one 8-2. And the next game, which was yesterday's game, got...
Typhooned out.
Yeah, typhooned out. So now the news I read said that we might be looking at a straight series of 14 consecutive games to close out the season.
Yeah.
Which, who knows what that's... That could be good, it could be bad. It's going to be hard for the players. Will it give us sort of a last chance to sort of even it up and make push our way into the playoffs? Or will it sort of be the final nail in the coffin for us? Hard to say at this point, but it's going to be a crazy end of the year now.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
What's going to happen?
Okay, so even though Yakult has kind of moved their way ahead in the standings, and by ahead, I mean they're, you know, 2 games ahead of the Giants now, so it's not huge. So, you know, first place is obviously going to the Carp. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, it's just going down, right? After that, you got Yakult with a little bit of breathing room now between the rest of the pack, but from third to sixth, there's literally, like, very little gap, especially with the Dragons beating up on the Giants this weekend a little bit. So they're moving a little bit up, the Giants moving a little bit down, and then you've got ourselves and DNA right in the middle of those two. And so there's such a little gap that, yeah, I mean, 14 games at the end of the year, there's no way that at the start of that 14 games, Hanshin will be eliminated from the playoffs. I say that knocking on wood, thinking that, you know, this road of death that we got coming up could be, you know, some nails in our coffin as well.
It's hard to say at this point. I mean, yeah, we've had a really tough time at Koshien this year, like I said, so I think that... You could sort of see sort of some light there that we might be able to actually put some decent wins together away from Koshien, but then again, who really knows? You know, at this point, it's hard to really say how it's going to work out.
So there's a couple of interesting angles that we can look at here. First of all, during this entire Road of Death, we do not play a single series at Mazda Zoom Zoom Stadium where we are terrible. Mm-hmm. So that's one plus that we got going for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
The minus that we have is that we're playing two sets at Tokyo Dome, and we're also playing a total of five games at Nagoya Dome, where we're also not very good. But then, speaking of domes, we're playing a lot of our games, and this tends to happen in August, to the point where I'd say it's not really Road of Death anymore, it's kind of Road of AC. We play a lot of games under roofs during August, which is perfect because the heat here is just ridiculous. Like, having these guys play baseball, you know, in open-air stadiums in August is just not a good idea. I wonder how the Olympics are going to go. Anyhow, so we got like, so let's just run through the schedule real quick so that, you know, and if you want to refer to the H10 schedule page, you can see it too, everybody. But we've got the three at Jingu that we just are finishing up as we speak. Then we got two at Nagoya Dome. We get 2 days off then, and then we go to Kyocera Dome for two games against these Swallows. Mm-hmm. After that, we got three at Tokyo Dome. So again, like I said, big time domes. And then we play some open air games in Yokohama, three on the weekend, 10th, 11th, 12th. We get a day off as usual. Then we play three more in the dome at Kyocera against these Carp, three at Jingu Stadium. And then we've got six straight in domes, three at Nagoya, three in Tokyo to end the Road of Death. And then we go back to Koshien for the end of August. So it looks like that would be a total of, let's see, 18, 20, 22, 25 game road trip. You know, with five games at Kyocera sprinkled in there. But still, 25 games where we don't get to be at Koshien, which again is not necessarily a bad thing.
It might be a good thing, we'll see, yeah. But, you know, and I don't know the actual stats of the Tigers at Kyocera Dome. I can't remember. I know some pitchers feel a little bit more comfortable in Dome.
Typically,
others,
we've been good there. Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, all the times that I've gone to the Dome, I've seen the Tigers win like maybe one or two games of all the times I've seen them at the Dome, so I might be the bad sort of bringer of bad luck for the Tigers at the Kyocera Dome, so I'll avoid going to see them there.
I've only seen them lose one at the Dome, actually, so I've had pretty good luck. Yeah.
There you go.
And that one was a season opener where Fujinami plunked Hatakeyama in the head back at the start of last season. So the summer, I've been to a couple of summer games, they were both wins. Of course, we had Randy on the mound for both of those, and of course, we were playing against the Dragons for both of those, so those are a couple of caveats in there. So what do you think, though, Jake? I mean, in the last podcast episode, I had said, hey, listen, everybody, let's face the music. This team is not going to reach 500 for a long time. Even if we win tonight's game against the Giants, and even if we sweep the Bay Stars, then we're still facing the Carp next, and we'll only win one of those three. And all that stuff I said, like, half of it didn't come true. So, you know, we find ourselves, what, seven games below 500 right now? And chances are we are not going to reach 500 by the end of this Road of Death. That's just my guess. But even if we do, I mean, we still have to have an incredible September to put ourselves in a position to host some playoff games.
I don't see us getting above 500 because, like we said, you know, there's a few teams we can beat up on. I think DeNA, you know, we have a good chance of wailing them around a little bit. But I mean, you know, you look at how we fared against teams like the Giants, against the Carp this year. And considering we're playing in places like Nagoya Dome, places that we really don't do too well in, I just don't see us stringing together a long series of wins, you know, and that's what we really need to do. We need to get on a hot streak in order to be able to do this. We can't just sort of middle around and win a couple here, a couple there. We need to put together a serious run, I think, and I just don't see it happening. I don't see us having the starting pitching to really accomplish that. I think we've only got a couple guys we can really rely on who are sort of a relatively a sure thing. And our hitting is just inconsistent. You know, we've got one game where guys hit four home runs, and then later on they just drop off. You know, Rosario, again, unfortunately, you know, he shows power for a couple games and then goes, you know, I think for the past, like, what, three or four games or something like that, he's batting, like, 183 or something.
Outside breaking ball.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he really can't hit against righties now because they just pitch him low and outside, and he just can't.
They're just bullying him.
Yeah, so, and I mean, you know, Navarro's doing all right, but he's not the sort of power guy we need. Ito, you know, he's slumping for the past, like, what, 11 or 12 at-bats. You know, I don't know what he's been doing today. Yeah. You know, there's no guys I see really picking the team up and carrying them on their shoulders either offensively. So I don't know. I think we're going to just continue to be pretty mediocre and kind of hover about where we are now. I just don't see anything that would change that drastically.
So not to complain, but to complain. You know, I write a weekly newsletter for Japan Ball. If you're not aware of that, subscribe, because then you get to read more of T-Ray. Anyways, but, you know, so I end up having to talk a lot about what's going on with other teams and how things are going, you know, what's going on around the league and all that kind of stuff. And so I kind of have to keep my finger on the pulse of all 12 teams to an extent. And I've noticed that almost every team this year, maybe even every team but us, has had a significant hot streak. Like, where you could say, like, right now, for example, the Rakuten Golden Eagles are having a great run. I think, like, they've won, like, 8 or 9 of their last 10. I think they had, like, a 7-game win streak going until they lost today. You know, the Swallows had the incredible run through Interleague, and even now I think they're riding a pretty hot streak as well.
So, I mean, 7 or 8 games and yeah, 7 or 8 wins in a row, I think.
They're back up to 500. You know, obviously the Carp have had hot streaks. The Giants had a really hot streak. They've also had a couple real cold streaks, which is great. The Bay Stars have had a couple, you know, so I don't want to list every team because it's just redundant, but almost every team except the Tigers, our best win streak so far is 5 games.
That's atrocious, yeah. It's not going to get it done.
No, definitely not. And so let's look at the schedule, though. So, you know, we're going for those 2 at Nagoya Dome. I really hope that we can win. I hope we can win both, but the way that I see things going right now, like as you said, Jake, we don't have a ton of starting pitching. And with Randy going, it looks like he's going the end of the week, right? Unless they somehow, you know, rush him back and they slowly push him, you know, earlier in the week with each passing week. If he goes, if he's our Sunday guy, he's going to be pitching against the Swallows at Kyocera, against the Bay Stars at Bay Star, and against the Swallows at Jingu, and then against the Giants at Tokyo Dome. So, I mean, he's actually pretty good in those stadiums against those teams. I mean, he's awesome against the Bay Stars. He's good at Kyocera Dome. So, and then he's pitching tonight against the Swallows, and he's doing all right. He had a rough first inning. But, you know, so at Jingu. And then he always tends to ramp up his game against the Giants. And so I feel pretty good about those Sundays, if he ends up staying the Sunday guy. But what about the rest of the week, man? I mean, if
those,
you look...
that's only 1 game each week.
We're going to go 1-5 every week, everyone. So, you know, we've got the Giants early in the week once, and the Carp early in the week once. And so we got no Randy Messenger in those. Who are we going to throw up against them?
I mean, who that could really legit, like, win games? I don't really know. Like, who could buckle down? I mean, right now it seems like Iwata's now part of the rotation again. With him, again, you never really know what you're going to get. I mean, he's deceptively good sometimes, where he looks really good for a couple of games, and then he just has a meltdown.
Or he looks good for a few innings. Like, through the fourth inning, you'd be like, hey, I think he's really going to do it. You know, the old Iwata's come back, and then the fifth inning he struggles, and then he gets pulled partway through the fifth.
I mean, you can imagine probably Fujinami's going to get jerked around again a little bit, you know, pulled up and then sent down.
I know,
Kanemoto's
going to have this great move. He's going to say, you know what, let's bring him in against the Carp, and let's show the Carp that we've got Fujinami.
and
then, yeah, same nonsense. I mean, it happened last year at Kyocera Dome, actually, where Fujinami got slapped around by the Carp.
Yeah.
But, okay, so, you know, we've got Saiki, who's pretty unpredictable. No, he hasn't been terrible ever. He hasn't had like an awful start.
Still green though.
He hasn't had an awesome start. Yeah, and this is summer where things are going to get hot. Guys get tired, especially young guys.
Yeah.
Who else have we got? I don't know where Haruto is right now. I think he's hurt. Haruto Takahashi.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Yeah,
because he was one of those guys that was kind of rotating in and out as well. Yeah.
Got Ono, who, you know, had a pretty terrible last start. So it's
Ono has really not had a good start since May, at least by my, you know, from my recollection. So
yeah,
it's hard to rely on him. Iwasada has been kind of up and down, and he's the guy that always seems to be the rainy day guy. I mean, he was supposed to pitch yesterday, but it rained out.
He's the next closest thing I think we have to a sure thing.
Reliable,
I mean, because Akiyama, I don't know what's going to happen with him now. He's down again. And
when's he coming back?
Yeah,
and
who knows?
How's he going to do? And yeah. So these 25 games, well, 24 left counting tonight. Do you think we can go 500 in these 24?
I don't. I don't see it happening. I think in these 24, I say... Yeah,
like 10 or 14 or something.
Right, I think if we can make 10 or 14, we'll be lucky. I think. Yeah.
Okay,
that's what I'm gonna say. Yeah. So.
Well, so if we do go 10 and 14, that'll put us around 10 games below 500. In 2016, we ended the year 12 games below 500. So good 2-game improvement. Well, mind you, the season's not over, but you know, and so we still have the September swoon to worry about.
Yeah.
But you know, it took a 7-game win streak for us to finish 12 below 500 that year. So. I don't know. I mean, hey, guys, we could talk to you again until we're blue in the face about how Kanemoto is going to get canned or should get canned or is going to resign or whatever. I think it's going to happen. I really think that Kanemoto is... I think he's going to resign. I mean, if the team finishes out of the playoffs, he has completely failed in his mission because he said, give me 3 years, I'm going to turn this team around.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, you sent me an article just a couple of days ago, too, where it was actually... I can't remember which media outlet it was in. It was Sun Sports or some Daily Sports thing. where they actually were talking about what we've talked about here. I don't want to obviously rant about this too much.
Yano 2019!
Yeah, well, they were saying, Yano 2019. They were saying it's like there is something wrong when these players do so good down on the Nigun. And the Nigun team, I mean, the Tigers Nigun team is amazing.
They're in first place.
Yeah, I mean, and their stolen bases are just off the charts.
125.
Like, yeah, way more than any other team, like far and away. I mean, they're amazing right now, right?
Yes.
And now, look, obviously, you know, the Ichigun is not the Nigun. It's a lot more difficult. But this, the basically, the guy was saying there is something going on here. He didn't come right out and call for Kanemoto's head, I don't believe. But he said, you know, there's something really weird how these guys do great down on the Nigun, and they come up and just completely tank on the Ichigun. It happens reliably with everybody. And, you know, talking about how, okay, maybe, yeah, it's time to start thinking about Kanemoto exiting and Yano coming in and being the next Ichigun manager. And honestly, at this point, if the Tigers, with the team they have this year, if they finish, you know, anything fourth place and under, like, I predicted at the beginning of the season fourth place.
I think, same here,
yeah, anything under that, I think it's time for Kanemoto to go. I don't see, you know, again, not to rant about him as the armchair manager here, because I don't know a lot about the strategy and that side of things, but I just don't get an ounce of leadership from him. I feel like he really doesn't know what he's doing. Like, he's got this motto, Shunin, you know, or whatever, like, Tigers change, all this stuff. And I just feel like it's a very hollow thing at this point. And
all they're changing
really
is their underwear.
Doing.
That's it, if that. But no, yeah. I mean, I read another article too that really kind of said that, you know, Kanemoto really lacks, just like he's got no bag of tricks. There's nothing there's nothing he can go to throw a little bit of a, you know, a wrench in what's going on to throw off the other team's pitcher. And I forget if it was other teams. Scouts or scorers or coaches or whatever, but somebody in this article had said, you know what, like, the thing about this Hanshin team is every now and then their hitters are going to get it together and they're going to string together some hits and put some runs up, but essentially the pitcher doesn't have to worry about anything but the hitter when he is on that mound, because the base runners, I mean, yeah, like, they'll occasionally steal a base, but they're not super aggressive. You know,
there's no pressure on the pitcher at any given moment.
Yeah, they're not trying anything different. You know, there's very little hit and run going on. Even when they do, they fail once, and then Kanemoto berates that guy after the game, and then they don't do it ever again. So, yeah, I mean, just this, you know, there's no bag of tricks, and that's what's lacking. It's a very simple approach to baseball with these Kanemoto Hanshin Tigers, and that's what makes them what they are right now. And I would have to agree with that. I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you guys, just to end this rant, at least on this note for me, yesterday I had a little bit of free time and I was watching a Kanemoto video on YouTube, and it was about his retirement, like at the end of his playing career. Man, he was an incredible player. He was a great guy. He was, you know, like, I mean, he was well liked by teammates, and he was clutch, you know, especially during his prime years. Even at the end of his career, I mean, there was nobody harder working than him. But I just don't like him as a manager. I'm sorry. I just can't.
No, I agree. You know, he's, like I've said before, he's always going to be, you know, a legend for the Tigers as a player.
Yes.
But as a manager, and naturally, he's a young, you know, he's young as a manager. He's really green. This is only his third year. So you expect he's not going to be that sort of seasoned veteran, obviously, you know, making these crafty decisions. But he really just looks like he doesn't know what he's doing in a lot of cases, like where he's just going by the book, by what he knows, and that's not a lot, and it isn't getting it done. So, yeah, I mean, you know, utmost respect for him as a player. I think that probably for the future of the team, he's not the answer as the manager.
And get Kataoka out of there too, please. Yes.
Yeah. Hanshin Tigers English League. Hanshin Tigers English League. Hanshin Tigers English League. Hanshin Tigers English League.
Well, speaking of Kanemoto possibly leaving and all that kind of stuff, myself and Jake, we're going to be doing a presentation in Amagasaki at the end of August. And we've got two topics that we are to talk about. The first one is what makes Hanshin such an attractive team to cheer for as a foreigner. And we're going to throw that one to the wayside right now because, A, they're not attractive this year, at least to me.
Well, anybody who's listening to this podcast too, you know, probably understands that, you know, like what it's like to cheer for the Tigers. You know, they're I mean, this year aside, there is a lot to like about the team.
There is, there definitely is. Yeah. History, yeah, and so we're gonna get through that, and it's hopefully gonna be a fun presentation. By the way, this is all gonna be in the old Nihonger, so we're not doing any English at this presentation. But the other topic that we're given is, what does it take for this Hanshin Tigers team to win a championship? Now, we were given this topic about, what, 3 weeks ago, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, there was still this possibility that, hey, maybe we're being asked this, or maybe we can present about what it's going to take for them to win this year. But by August 31st, there ain't going to be no talk about how they're going to win this year. Okay, how can they win this year if they win the rest of the games and Hiroshima loses the rest of their games?
Pretty much, yeah.
10-second presentation. So we're going to have to talk more about long-term stuff, like what can this team do to become a constant contender, a constant champion.
Yeah.
So, well, we actually still haven't talked about this, and this is, we're doing this straight off the cuff right now, but
on the fly, yeah.
So I'm going to give one idea that probably is going to be hard to disagree with, but it's kind of related to fire Kanemoto, but it's not explicitly saying that, but hire a manager and hire coaches from the outside. Somebody, I would say, this is what I would love to see with the coaching staff. Okay, there's somebody I think called the head coach on the team, right? And I'm okay with that being an OB, with that being somebody that played with the Tigers and maybe has coached with the Tigers. Somebody that knows the team's tradition, the team's habits, the team's everything. But the rest of that coaching staff, including the manager, I would love to see people that have never been involved with the Tigers organization.
Mm-hmm.
Get these guys in that have different practice techniques, that have different different strategy during games, that have different ways of approaching players, maybe that have not handled the Kansai media before.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, guys, what we've been doing for 80 plus years now clearly hasn't worked very well. Mm-hmm. And we've always hired from within, except for, like, there's a few exceptions. There's Katsuya Nomura, who came in and gave us some last place teams, but he also kind of laid the groundwork for Senichi Hoshino, who came in and won us a title, right? And then there's been a couple other guys like Don Blazingham, who came in, and that was kind of an unfair situation. But for the most part, it's all been OBs, and look at the results.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot then. How do you feel about Yano then as manager? Since he'd be coming from the inside, do you think that would be... Would you make an exception in that case if Yano gets sort of the call? Do you feel that's acceptable?
Good question. I would say that because I know Hanshin and I know that they probably won't hire an outsider, the best choice is Yano. And so if Yano gets the job, I'll be happy, just because they're not going to find a better player that was once with Hanshin,
mm-hmm.
that is, I guess, eligible to be a manager, both age-wise and even just kind of looking for the job.
Yeah. I only hope, you know, if Yano comes in, that he continues doing what he's doing now. You know, he's willing to take a chance, to take a risk, to put some pressure on the other teams with the base running and stuff like that, and not just go by the book. You know, Kanemoto sort of said he was going to come in and be sort of revolutionary, and he ended up just doing the same old thing. So I hope Yano continues to be Yano, if that's what he does, because I don't want to see just this, you know, constant bunting kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, here's an interesting thing, too, about Yano and his approach, and I'm only saying this straight from the numbers because I haven't watched a lot of farm action. But they started the year on fire on the base paths. I mean, they were stealing regularly, like 3 or 4 bases per game, and they've slowed down the pace quite a bit lately. But I remember, Jake, like, we talked, I think it was maybe in May, we talked about the farm team a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you saying, well, look at their team average is only like 226 or something. And it was terrible. It was like, I think, second to last or maybe even last in the Western League. Well, they're up to 250 as a team right now. And I think that part of it is kind of what we talked about earlier, where opposing teams' pitchers know that they've got to think about these guys on bases. Mm-hmm. So once a guy gets on base, they're maybe not throwing with 100% strength or 100% accuracy or whatever that they want, and that's resulting in some more hitting opportunities for our guys. And so, you know, part of it might be that, you know, hitters tend to warm up in the summer, but I think part of it might be that, you know, the pitchers have got more on their minds than the hitters now because of all the running, and so they don't have to run as much just because the threat is there. It's kind of like, you know, running a classroom as a teacher. Once you've got the rules in place and everybody knows, like, okay, well, this is the way things work in this classroom, like, you don't have to do all the things that you did at the start of, you know, the year to get their attention. It's kind of the same thing with baseball, man.
Well, it's interesting, how there's so many different ways to have success, you know, where you don't even necessarily need to be a power-hitting team to actually hit have a good average and score a lot of runs and be at the top of the standings, you know, which mm-hmm. is what they are. So, hopefully, if Yano does get the nod, then keep it going, man. Keep it going. I mean, I don't know if it will translate exactly, you know, to the Ichigun, but you know, we want to see something different, I think. So, yeah.
I think Hanshin Tigers fans are thirsting for it. And speaking of Hanshin Tigers fans, like, I don't want to throw too much of the blame on the fans, but man, like, when we go back to the whole Fujinami jeering thing, the fans can be really relentless towards some players and not so much so to others. And mm-hmm. I think that, like, I mean, it's hard to say this. It's hard to say, you know, fans, you got to lay off or whatever, because part of being a fan and part of the right of being a fan is having the right to say what you want when you want and to unleash some of that stress that you've been experiencing through the week or whatever. But, like, it's really not conducive to these players doing well. And just one example from the Kanemoto video that I watched yesterday, they talked about how, like, Kanemoto had said in this interview, which was the day before he retired, he said, you know, like, there were times where if I hit into a double play and as I was trotting back to the bench, people would say, ah, daijoubu yo, gambare, tsugi gambare, right? And but then if Takahiro Arai did the same thing, people were, like, calling for his head on a platter, man, and, you know. And then I heard another example where I forget who it was that kind of got the poo-poo treatment. And then, you know, like, Rosario, apparently, you know, sometimes fans will yell. And granted, he may not understand because it's in Japanese, but they'll yell stuff like, go back to the Dominican Republic, get out of here, like, leave town. And the fans do that a lot to the foreign players.
Yeah.
Foreigners
get ripped really bad. You hear it, Koshi, and I follow it on Facebook, too, and it's, you know, pretty much no matter what. I mean, unless you're Randy Messenger.
He's the only guy. It's passive-aggressive racism, though, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unless, I mean, Randy gets a pass, I guess, because he's been with the team for so long. But anybody else, you know, you have one bad game, and it's like they'll just, everybody's like, go home kind of thing. So, yeah.
I've never heard them say to a kid that's from, like, Fukuoka or whatever, like, Kyushu kaede! Go back to Kyushu. No. No, it's only the foreigners that have to go back home. Yeah. Everybody else can stay because you're one of us. But anyway, so I think the fans, literally, I really think the fans are part of the problem, and one of the reasons that this team doesn't succeed is the immense, I mean, it's kind of a two-edged sword, right? Or a two-sided coin or whatever, right? Where, like, on one hand, you're a superstar when you're good, but on the other hand, man, you are a supervillain when you don't succeed.
Yeah,
and it's just, it's a lot of pressure on the players. And on that note, one of the other things I think that would help the team to win is it would be interesting to see if they could do this, but just put a cap on the number of media that are either, you know, like, in, not in the dugout, but covering the team after games or before games or whatever. Because one of the things that I've read in magazines where newcomers are coming to the team and they'll say, what is the one thing that surprised you about this team? Or what is your first impression of the team or whatever? And they always say the incredible number of people covering games.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't help but wonder if that might be part of it too, because I mean, I know that they, you know, sometimes they read about stuff that's going on in the paper, you know, in the papers, stuff that's written about them, and so I don't know, man. Less of that would be a little bit less pressure, maybe as well.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, I was gonna say my main thing that I was gonna think of, and I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before as well, but I think they need to figure out how to scout foreign talent much better, because we've seen in the past couple years where it's a two-part problem, I think. It's, first of all, getting the guys that will fit into the team properly, mm-hmm. and then using them properly, right? So, I mean, this year was a little bit better in one sense because they went after a slugger, right? Like, with Rosario, they thought they were going to get a really, you know, a serious power hitter, and that's the kind of guy that they've needed. Unfortunately, you know, it hasn't worked out in that way. So, it has gotten slightly better this year. But if you look at the past couple years, you look at Haig, you look at Campbell, you look at Jason Rogers, those three guys in particular, it's like they weren't filling the kind of need that the Tigers had. Especially, I mean, Campbell was a really good example because this is after the departure of Gomez too, and they needed someone to fill that slugger role. And so they get Campbell, who, if you looked at his AAA numbers, you know, before he came over here, he's not a power hitter, right? He's like a doubles guy, maybe. He hits a few home runs, but I mean, just not the kind of guy who would be able to fill those shoes, which is okay. It's not a rip against him. That's just the kind of player he was, right? But then he gets over here, and there's these expectations that he's going to start slugging home runs. Totally wrong, right? So then, of course, he doesn't do very well. And so they bring in Rogers, right? And I was so confounded when I saw this because Rogers' numbers were almost exactly the same as Campbell's.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what are you guys even thinking? Like, why would you get this guy? Again, this is not a rip on Rogers. This is just the kind of player he is, right? But it just shows how there seems to be absolutely no planning in terms of what they're doing with their foreign talent. And then
They're very hasty.
Very hasty. And then using them too. I mean, you look at guys like Haig, right? You go into a short slump, Nygoon instantly. And you get called up maybe once again for a short stint. If you don't completely tear it up, you're gone again. Rodgers too, another good example last year after he got sent down once, they brought him up for 3 games, in which, by the way, he was actually one of the best offensive player on the team for those short 3 games.
He hit a home run during those 3 games.
He was the only one. And Kanemoto, of course, ripped that home run. It wasn't a very good home run. It was like, dude, come on. But anyway, he gets sent down and he gets cut again, you know. So there was that. And now on the exact opposite side, I was sort of adamant about this in an earlier podcast, but like Rosario, now they used him too long. They kept him in the number 4 spot when he was clearly struggling with all that pressure on him, when they should have probably moved around a little bit after you know, at least a month or so of him struggling like that. And they kept him up there for a long time too, where probably he could have benefited from a change of scenery, right? So I feel like you've got, you know, this sort of, again, like a, not like a double-edged sword, but like the two sides of the coin where they don't get the guys they need oftentimes, and then when they get these guys, they don't use them properly. So if they want to be a team that can contend, I think, they're going to need to get guys that slot in really well and then use them properly, as a lot of the other teams in the MPB do. So it's possible to do it. The Tigers just aren't getting it done the right way. So that's going to be my main part.
Look at our you know, most recent Nippon-ichi teams, right? Like, 2017 was the SoftBank Hawks, and they had Alfredo Despagne, who was excellent. The 2016 Nippon Ham Fighters had Brandon Laird, and he was excellent. The 2015 SoftBank Hawks had Daiho Lee, right? And he was excellent. You know, so you go back, and all of these teams, one of the common threads is that they have that presence, that foreign presence in their batting lineup. Mm-hmm. Or you know, like, we've got pretty good foreign pitchers, so I wouldn't complain so much about that, but definitely the hitters, there are some issues there, so, yeah.
I would say that's one of the other main things that they need to do. So they've got a lot of issues to work on before they're going to be a team that can seriously contend, especially when you look at the other teams in the league as well, so, yeah.
There you have it. So that is a sneak preview of our talk, which is coming at the end of August, and we are going to give you some more information. Actually, on our next show, we'll give you more detail about where that presentation is going to be and if you are able to come or not, like if it's open to the public. But we're pretty excited about this opportunity, you know.
It should be fun, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a test of the old Japanese, that's for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially, like, you know, talking about the Tigers in Japanese. We're so used to doing it with you, for you folks, you know, in this situation where we're sitting in front of a microphone, in front of a computer. We're not standing in front of an audience of, you know, Japanese people with a PowerPoint and having to worry about, you know, speaking skills in a second language. So
watch Kanemoto show up with like a fake mustache or something. He's like listening to us, and as we like rip his management, and he comes up and like starts shouting at us. But fingers crossed. I think the Tigers have a game that day, so we should be safe.
So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News. This has been episode 84. And before we sign off, let's update the score. It is now, what, the bottom of the fourth inning?
Yep, 4-2, Tigers are winning. Hojo just committed an error, unfortunately, but he made up for it early on in the game, so that's all right. You know, we'll see. Hopefully they can continue to cruise Messenger's pitching, so yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, thank you very much for tuning in once again, and please feel free to follow us on all the usual social media spaces. We've got the website, we've got the YouTube, actually, that I never advertise and hardly ever update, but go there anyways. We have got Facebook page, we've got Twitter, we've got Instagram. I don't know if we're going to expand beyond that, but let me tell you this, everybody, H10, T-Ray, and even H10, Jake, we're taking a vacation. We are not going to be in studio. We're not going to be posting on the website for at least the next 3 weeks. It's time for us to have a little taiga yasumi. So thank you very much for listening. And the next time that we come back to you, hopefully both of us are going to be feeling refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great month, everybody. See ya.